I'm excited to teach today. We are in a series called Choose Joy, and we started this last Sunday. If you missed week one, don't ever miss week one of a brand new series, because it's the tension, it's the challenge, it's working through and the setup of what God wants to speak to us. Go back and catch up. You can do that at YouTube. Just search the Church Covington. Make sure that you subscribe there. You can always watch the archive or on our podcast if you want to listen there at thechurchcov.com. But keep hold of the Word and listen and rehearse the Word in your life, because it is amazing. Today, week number two, we're talking about joy because we need joy. We have experienced crisis times. We have experienced crazy times. We have experienced concerning times. And we realize that in the midst of crisis, crazy, and concerning times, that we have to choose joy. There has never been a time in our history when people are medicating more, whether it is prescription drugs or alcohol or food, people reaching for something to satisfy them, reaching for something to soothe them. Suicides are just way up, and joy is way down. So we're making a choice. We're making a choice ahead of holidays that are coming, ahead of any end of the year blues. We're making a choice that we want joy in our lives. And the key word is that we have to choose. We have to choose this. You know why? Because joy doesn't find you. You have to find it. That's just the way it works. If we live every day just waking up, well, I'm just going to sit here on the porch and I'm going to wait until joy comes. Now, if you have a child named Joy, that makes that particularly easy. But most of us don't. So you can't just wait for joy to seek you out and to search you out. You have to create the life you want. You have to create your happiness. You have to create your peace, and you have to create your joy. And we know there is going to be a fight. We know automatically that there is going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight from without, and there will be a fight from within. Well, now wait a minute, Pastor. I understand the fight from without, but what do you mean the fight from within? I mean, I want joy. I'm not fighting it myself. So what do you mean by that? I'll tell you exactly what I mean. We're dealing with choices, and not all of our choices have been good ones. It's just a fact. It's just a reality. Not all of the choices that I've made, not all of the choices that you have made have served us well. Individually, we don't always make the best choices, and sometimes we are a victim to our own choices. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we take wrong turns. Sometimes we create beds that we have to lie down in, and we see the effect that those choices have on our lives. Yes, there is truth in understanding that some of our choices have cost us our joy. And the devil knows this. He knows this. He knows what your proclivities are. He knows where your buttons are. He knows how to tempt you. He's a good devil. I've tried to tell you that the last few weeks. He's good at his job. I don't like him at all. I'm not patting him on the head. I'm not complimenting him. I just know that he knows how to do what he does, and he does it very well. He knows where to lay trap and where to lay obstacle and where to set up a circumstance that's going to get the best of me. And so I can't be ignorant to that. I've got to be wise to that. I've got to be aware and sober and vigilant and knowing what he's going to try to do and how he's going to try to work in my life. But he knows this, and so he works, he creates those circumstances, and he presents challenges that delay our joy. John 10 and 10 says the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We know what the devil's doing. We know what the thief is doing. We know his plan. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But if you will hold on to me, Jesus, these words are in red in your Bible, is saying, I have life for you and life to the full. But we got to talk about this killjoy. We got to talk about what limits, what destroys, what causes problems in our search and our choosing of joy. Let me give you three truths. Number one, sin steals our joy. Sin steals our joy. You say, well, Pastor Darrell, I mean, church just isn't fun. I get bored in this, you know, godly living thing. No. Actually, not true at all. Sin steals from us. Sin deceives us. Sin fools us into believing we want this when we know what we really desire is that. We were actually made for heavenly places. That's why you're comfortable in church and you're uncomfortable in other environments, because you weren't created for that. That's messing with your purpose. That's messing with your destiny. That's messing with the call on your life. But you get to church, even if this is your first time in an atmosphere like this, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that music is louder than I'm used to, and I don't know why I've got these doodads running up and down my arms, and this is different, and the hair standing up on, and oh my Lord, when she sang that, I just felt something. It may make you nervous at first, but something down deep inside of you is saying, it's all right, just hold on, because you were made for this. You were made for my presence. You were made for an atmosphere where his spirit is moving and his glory is resonant. But sin tries to steal that from us. And we talk a lot about circumstances. And we're going to continue talking about circumstances, because I want you to mature beyond your circumstances dictating whether or not you are going to live a fulfilled life, or whether you're going to live a spirit-full life or a joy-filled life. We know our circumstances are there, but we have to be honest in that some things in our lives we have brought on ourselves. It's just the truth. Psalm 32, let me begin at verse number 1. This is powerful to me. Psalm 32, the Bible said, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That word blessed literally means happy. Happy is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed or happy is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Happy is the one who's not trying to hide. Happy's the one who's not being deceptive or deceitful. Happy's the one who doesn't have secret lives going on, who doesn't have secret email and burner phones. Happy is the one who is living this open life before God, where there is nothing hidden and there is nothing secret. Verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. When I was hiding my sin, man, I just felt like I was dying a new death every day. Just felt like I was constantly struggling and in pain. And he said, through my groaning, my depression, my mood, my anxiety, through my groaning all day long. Verse 4 tells us, Day and night, your hand was heavy on me. I know it's an old-fashioned word, but the word conviction, it's still good to feel conviction. Bible teaches that we don't need to sear that. We don't need to sear our conscience. We don't need to push away from the feeling of conviction. Conviction is a powerful thing in your life because it'll tell you, hey, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you saying that. I don't want you living that way. It's a, Lord, please hone that. Please calibrate that barometer in my life. I want to make sure that my conviction is attuned and ready to hear your voice. But David said, day and night your hand was heavy on me. There was conviction in my life. My strength was sapped. Because the Bible will tell us in another place that the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of a sinner, the one who's choosing sin in their life, it's a hard life to live. It's a hard road to travel. And he said, my strength was sapped. I was just weak. I was just struggling. I was exhausted all the time, as in the heat of summer. You know how it is when it's really hot around here. Y'all keep telling me how hot it gets, but it's still hotter in Texas and more humid. And everybody says, I know you're glad. I know you're glad, you know, to be out of Texas or whatever. It's so much hotter here. No. But you've lived those days where it's just so hot. It's like, oh, man, you just feel like you're walking through quicksand, humidity. It just, man, if I can just get to some air conditioning somewhere, if I can get to a swimming pool, because I don't want to be in this kind of heaviness anymore. That's what he said. Living in sin is like it's living that way day and night. You just can't get out of the quicksand. But verse 5 says, Then, what? I was feeling this way and feeling that way, and I was struggling here and struggling there, but then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love, this is verse 10, surrounds the one who trusts in him. And then look at verse 11. Rejoice! What am I doing? I'm choosing joy. I'm getting all of this square so that I can rejoice. I can find joy in my life again, because sin steals our joy. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, and all you who are upright in heart. Sin steals our joy. Let me tell you another truth. Sin kills our lives. Sin kills our lives. Because sin leaves nothing untouched. Leaves nothing untouched. It will affect your job, your marriage, your family, your physical body, your relationships. Sin leaves nothing untouched. We go into it thinking, I'm just going to keep this one little compartment over here in my life. I'm just going to keep this one little area tucked away, and no one's going to know, and no one's going to ever know that this here, but it starts affecting everything, because sin leaves nothing untouched. That's why the Bible told us that when lust is conceived, it brings sin, and then sin, when it is finished, not when I'm finished with sin, not when I get tired of sin, not when I get through living that way. No, sin, when it is finished, because the dabble, the enemy is never satisfied with you just dabbling in something. He wants it to immerse your life until it takes control. And sin, when it is finished, when it has wrung you out, when it has wasted you away, when it has ravaged everything about you. I know it's tight, but it's still right. Hold on just a moment, because there is hope. But somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord today, that sin will steal your joy and sin will kill your life. The wages of sin is death. And see, we take that literally, so we say, well, I must be good because I'm not dead yet. No, it's things dying in your life. It's purity dying in your life. It's integrity dying in your life. It's character dying in your life. It's relationships dying in your life. The wage, that's the wages of sin. You haven't physically died, but everything in your life has died. Because sin kills our lives. Psalm 73, 18 and 19. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. That's what sin does. It does not quit. It's slippery ground everywhere you go. It's ruin. It's destruction and just being swept away in all of its sin. It kills our lives. Let me tell you another truth about sin, and then we'll move to some happy stuff. Sin destroys our identity. It destroys our identity. John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Sin steals our joy. It kills our lives, and it destroys our identity. Have you ever said about someone, surely not yourself, but we're looking at everybody else with an evil eye right now. But have you ever looked at somebody else and said, you know, they're just not acting like themselves. That's just not who they are. I don't know what's got into them. Have you ever said anything like that? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, you're just not acting like yourself? Have you ever had someone say to you, I don't know what's got into you? That was my mom's favorite one. I don't know what got, because she was surely talking about a bunch of devils had gotten into me, you know. I don't know what's got into you. You're just not acting like yourself, because sin destroys our identity. We become a slave to sin. We start living a version of ourselves that God never intended. And we start to look like our decisions. Start to look like our choices. Psalm 38, 4 and 6, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. No, I'm not living life with my head held high or my shoulders squared. No, I'm not walking through life in a victorious posture. No, I'm not living my life in the confidence of God. I am brought down, and I am lower than I've ever been, and it's changed everything about me. Listen, I want to preach hope to somebody in this room that if sin has stolen your joy, or if sin has killed aspects of your life, or if sin has destroyed your identity, there is a Savior, the presence of God that we have felt so strong in this room today. It is our deliverance. It is our hope. It is our peace. And God has a better way for us to live. Is anybody thankful for that today? Here's the truth. We cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. Try it. It just doesn't work. Actually, don't try it. Take my word for it. Bad pastor. Don't try. You can't be guilty and happy at the same time. You can't live in both worlds. You can't straddle the fence. You can't try to have this on Sunday and all of that the rest of the week and then come flying back in to try to get things reset in your life. No, it just doesn't work that way. So we have to bring back a powerful word from the Word of God. But it's a word that has this negative connotation, and it's been made this big, scary word, and really it shouldn't be scary. It's a good thing, and it's something that we need to practice, and it has everything to do with today's choice. That word is repent. 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 It doesn't have to be an ugly word. See, we hear repentance because we have gone so far and we have done so much and we have messed up so bad that someone says, you need to repent. You got to get right. This altar's open. And I'm for all of that. And I'll keep making those altar calls and keep trying to lead people to repentance. But hear me, believer. Hear me, Christian. Hear me, spirit-filled child of God. Hear me, one who worships passionately on Sunday. You can still live a life of repentance every single day. Doesn't have to be a negative. Doesn't have to be something heavy. Doesn't have to be something foreboding in your life. Let's talk about the daily choice today. We talked last Sunday about the first choice. The first choice was prayer. Let's pray. If we want joy, let's see how prayer and joy works in conjunction with one another. This is the daily choice. Acts 3 verses 19 and 20. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You want refreshing in your life? You want joy in your life? You want happiness in your life? Repent. Say, well, Pastor Bill, I'm not sure I've done anything wrong. Well, that's all right. You can still wake up every day and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to begin this day in repentance. Because I'm going to tell you something else. If you're living in flesh, if you're living in this earthly house, you've done something. I don't know anybody in here that's reached deity or perfection. You may got too old to care about it anymore. Somebody got on to me for one of my country sayings last Sunday, so I got to be careful. I ain't quite 50 yet, but give me just 349 more days. Well, I don't feel like doing math right now. I'm under the anointing. I'm preaching. Repent, because there is refreshing that comes from the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 32 and 1 that we just read from a few moments ago, but in the Living Bible. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when our sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. Man, all in one verse, everything I'm looking for, happiness, joy, relief, all of it is right there. It can all be ours. How? If I just repent. If I just get rid of the sin in my life. If I get rid of those things that I continue to choose and continue wanting and continue, if I can just get rid of that, man, there is happiness, there is joy, and there is relief. So the first choice, the daily choice is to daily choose to put to death my old sin nature. To daily choose to put to death my old sin nature. Well, Pastor, like I usually wait until I bank up a whole lot of sins, and then I go to the altar and repent. No, I want to challenge you to live a different way. Don't wait until you're at your breaking point. Don't wait until people are looking at you funny, saying, "You, what's got into you? Why, where'd this attitude? What's going on with you?" No, I'm going to daily choose to put to death my old sin nature. And this is not even a salvation moment. This is a prayer for Christians. This is a prayer for believers. It's a daily prayer. I want to spend a few moments in Psalm 51 as we work through our four daily choices. This is David after he has made a grave mistake. He saw Bathsheba bathing next door. He sends her husband to the front lines of the battle, knowing that he would be killed. And when word comes that her husband Uriah had been killed, David goes and takes Bathsheba as his own. And God was big mad. Because it doesn't matter how carefully you crafted this, David. It doesn't matter how you manipulated this for yourself so that your hands stayed clean. You are dirty, dude. You are dirty. You're wrong. You're full of sin. And so David is coming to terms with all of this, and he is in the presence of the Lord, and he is having to get right before God. And so he begins to pray this very powerful prayer of the 51st Psalm. He said, "Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from sin." Don't just wash me, but cleanse me. Cleanse me. Washing does something on the outside, but cleansing does something on the inside. Washing is temporary because I'm going to need to do that again. I'm going to need to do that, you know, later today, tomorrow morning, and again tomorrow. I'm going to need to do that daily. I'm going to need to do the washing thing because I got to get the dirt. I got to get the sweat. I got to get the grime. I got to get the dust. I got to get the dirt off. But the cleansing thing, that's different. That has something to do with what I take in and what I ingest and what I put in and what I watch and what I focus on and what I listen to and what I read in, what I allow to get into my spirit. And David said, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Romans 8, 12 and 13, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters," again, it's the Christians, it's the believers that he's writing to, "you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." So I'm acknowledging, I know you're a Christian, I know you're a believer, I know you've had a yes moment in your life and you've accepted the Lord as Savior and deliverer in your life, but you still have these urges, you still have these desires, you still have this stuff in you that just rears up its head from time to time. He said, "You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates," hear the word of the Lord, "you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live." You're a believer, and some of you are condemned because you are a believer who is still tempted to sin. And the devil is using that to beat you up every single day of your life. But you got to hear more Bible. "There is therefore now no condemnation." Because God does not condemn you. Is this word helping anybody today? He does not condemn you. He's just allowing his grace and his mercy to keep leading you further into greater, stronger, deeper relationship with him. You say, "Pastor Darrell, does it ever go away? Does the urge, does the temptation?" No, I don't suspect it ever does. But God gets better and better in my life, and the discipline becomes the daily routine. And I don't allow myself to go down those roads. I don't allow my mind. I gird up the loins of my mind. I don't allow my mind to drift off into those areas anymore. Maybe I put safeguards on the computer. Maybe I lock down all of the smart devices. I get accountability in my life. I get honest with people. I start working through and trying to build a life that I can live for the Lord, because I don't want to die in sin. I want to live a joy-filled life. Let me give you the second daily choice. Daily release my past and take another step toward freedom. Daily release my past and take another step toward freedom. Can I tell you, can I be honest with you, this is never just one prayer. This is never a one-time thing, whether it's salvation or deliverance or healing. We'll have a yes moment here in just a few minutes. And I love last week, there were, I don't know, probably a dozen people that that gave their hearts to Jesus last week, and I was counting books at Tuesday night prayer, and people are getting these books. I know people are saying yes to Jesus, but that's not going to be a one-time prayer in your life. It's just a beginning place. It's just a starting place. It's an acknowledgement that, hey, I've been going this direction, and the Lord's wanted me to go that direction, and today I'm saying yes to doing life His way and following His path, and I'm not going to keep doing what I've been doing, but I am going to reach for the things of God. But often our prayers are about symptoms when God wants to heal causes. It's like clipping a weed at the surface versus pulling it up by the root. You see this picture? If you clip the weed at the surface, I promise you the weed, it's going to be tomorrow. It's like clipping the hair growing out of your ears, men. 49 going to be rough, y'all. I just cut it, and it's 6 inches the next day. What's going on? My kids are horribly embarrassed. Get over it. Fertilizer, somebody said. Just trying to get something that y'all relate to and that you understand. But if I can get the weed down by the root, doesn't mean that the weed will not be persistent and continue trying to grow. It's always going to need some killer on top of it, or the weed's always going to need attention. Weeds are amazing things because they grow in any condition. That sin, it just seems to pop up. Temptation comes from everywhere. It just keeps happening. But I get in a routine. I find the right spiritual concoction and solution to just keep pouring it on those things. And before you know it, I'm managing the weeds versus the weeds managing me. So David said in Psalm 51 and 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. James 5:16, I love this verse. It's often misunderstood, but it's powerful. Make this your common practice. So he's saying, I want you to do this often. I want you to make this as common as brushing your teeth, colon. What's the common practice? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. But Pastor Darrell, wait a minute. I don't know. I was taught to keep all of this a secret. That's the enemy that wants you to keep in secret, because with secrecy comes shame. When you're the only one who knows, you think you're the only one struggling. But when you get in a small group, when you get in a freedom small group and you say, you know what, can I just be honest, I'm struggling. Invariably, somebody across the room is going to say, oh, yeah, yeah, me too. You find out, wait a minute, I'm not by myself. I'm not alone in this. You mean, what? The devil has kept me awake so many hours every night thinking I'm the only one struggling with this and I'm the only one dealing with this. Now, I'm not suggesting you buy ad space in the Covington News. I'm not suggesting you make your struggle your Facebook status this afternoon. I'm talking about finding faith community with a small number, handful, 1, 2, few people that you can say, hey, can I be honest? What I'm telling you is that you're not going to be met with judgment, because everyone in this room knows that, hey, your struggle may be that and my struggle may be this, but what we have in common is struggle. And we're never going to build the church God wants us to build if we're folded arms looking at somebody all haughty and judgmental. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. What we need are people who love and people who understand and people who care and people people who remember what it was to struggle just the same. And if I confess it to people like that, man, I just got stronger. I took the secret out of the enemy's hand. And I put my secret into the hands of people that I trust and who care about me and who have my best interest at heart. Is the word blessing anybody today? Woo! Number three, daily pursue God's plan for my life. Daily pursue God's plan for my life. I'm not talking about praying just when I get in trouble. Not just when there is crisis. But rather, I want to begin my day asking God to order my steps and to lead my life. David said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Because if I can get back to a clean heart, a pure heart, and that steadfast spirit is in me, then I know I'm not going to make that same mistake. I'm not going to have that same problem. I'm going to conquer this struggle in my life. Romans 12 and 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Y'all, this is the word of God. This is not Pastor Daryl. This is the Bible. It'll teach us. It's not some archaic book that's out of style and old-fashioned. No, this thing helps me. I don't have to follow the behavior and customs of the world. The behavior and customs of the world, they've gone mad. They've gone crazy. But I'm changing the way I think. And number four, I'm going to spend a little more time with number four next week. Talk to you about joy on purpose and why God wants us to have joy and the difference that it can make, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. Number four, daily live a life that impacts others. I love it because there is this beautiful cycle. The cycle of me getting what I need from God and then being what someone else needs from God. Some of you, you're not there yet. I understand. Some of you are struggling with that. I understand. Some of you are still trying to get what you need. Me. Struggling. Wrestling. These kids. This pain. These finances. I'm trying to get what I need. And you've not gotten yourself healed enough to realize that when you get what you need from God, when you finally get into that place of wholeness, God is going to take the miracle that he invested into you and he's going to ask you to give it to somebody else. Because healed people heal people. Write that down on a post-it note and put it on your mirror so that you can look at it every day. Healed people heal people. When I get healed, I'm going to heal someone else. When I get fixed, I'm going to fix someone else. What does that do? It sets a target. I'm not wasting a day. I cannot wait to get to wholeness in my life. I can't wait to reach a place of healing in my life. So I'm going to be in church. I'm going to get in this word. I'm going to be a part of small group. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve. Why? Because I'm on my way to healing. And then guess what? I'm going to be able to pull someone else out of the fire. I can daily live a life that impacts others. I'm telling you, God is good. He's good. He's doing all of this on purpose. He's got a plan. Not just to heal you, but to make a difference through you. One more time, David said in Psalm 51, 12 and 13, restore to me the joy of salvation. David said, I got so far off track. I got so messed up that I became an accomplice to murder. I got so messed up. I let lust consume me so much that I was willing to do anything to satisfy my perversion. David said, created me a clean heart. Purge me. Wash me. Renew. Change my life. Why? Because I need the joy of your salvation. I want to be restored to the place that salvation is enough to satisfy me, and I don't need all of this other stuff that I continue reaching for and wanting and pursuing in my life. I don't need that. I don't want that. Because salvation is so great. And then, another then, verse 13, then, after you've restored the joy of salvation, then I will teach transgressors, other sinners, people just like me, I will teach them your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Do that in my life, Lord, so that I can do that for someone else. You know why? Because joy is more than a feeling. It's a way of living. It's a way of living. Father, I thank you right now. Lord, have mercy. I feel your spirit. I feel your presence. I feel your power. I felt it from the first note of this service today. You've been working. You've been moving. You've been speaking, healing and helping, bringing wholeness to people in this room today. I don't want anyone to miss their moment today, Lord. So no distraction and no, this is my moment. This is my moment to say yes. If you're in this room today and you just know, hey, this is the word I had to hear today. This is what God needed to speak to me today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand across the room? Just acknowledging. Yep, 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 yep. My Lord. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm praying for you right now. And I want you to pray with me for yourself. Because this is your yes moment. Whether today is your first time to pray this or you've prayed this prayer and you're just trying to graduate out of the struggle and into the healing of His Spirit. Just pray, say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I didn't realize that my sin was stealing my joy. I never understood that sin was killing my life. I didn't realize that sin was destroying my identity. I didn't know. But Lord, your word has taught me today. And now I've got something to aim at. I've got something to reach for. I've got something to strive for. I know there's not perfection in me, but there is a great big desire in me to live as you've called me to live, to walk as you've called me to walk. So full circle, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me. Set me free. Send your spirit to break these chains in my life. Regardless of what the addiction is, I speak a breaking in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all the earth shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, his bones will sing. Great.